Turn, if you will, today in your Bibles to Proverbs 29th chapter, Proverbs 29, verse 18. A passage of Scripture most of you would probably are familiar with. Many of you know it. It's a very easy passage of Scripture. It simply says this: where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your blessings, for loving us. Lord, just speak to our hearts today. Lord, give us that vision afresh and anew. Lord, of the power of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you praise, for it's in your name that we ask these things. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus was a man sitting by the roadside. Every day in his life, he begged for coins. Couldn't help but think about this man as he sat there by the roadside begging for coins. He was blind. I wonder what he thought about the sights that he could not see, about the people as they came by, what they were wearing, where they were going. Maybe he was thinking how life would be different if only he could see. If only he could see the trees. If only he could see the people. You see, but being blind, you can't see, can you? You can't see around you. You can't see the people. You can't see anything. You're in total darkness. But we're not that way today. Most of us in here have our sight. I don't know if we have anyone blind or not in here today, but to those of us who have our sight, it's just like any other day. It's just another day. We take it for granted, and we go through life seeing life, and yet many of us are like blind Bartimaeus. We're in total darkness. Not darkness around us, but darkness spiritually. We're in spiritual darkness. This was not a day just like any other day to blind Bartimaeus. Jesus Christ would pass by. In a little while, he would hear the sound of the people. He would hear the excitement of the people. Yes, he had heard about Jesus. He couldn't help but hearing about the miracles of Jesus as he had performed them. They were excited, and the people were excited that Jesus Christ was coming to town. Some of you are here today and you've come and you're excited. You've heard about Jesus Christ. But you're lost. You've never accepted the gift of salvation in your life. You've never said yes to Jesus Christ. Oh, you know the excitement. You've heard it sung about. You've heard the people clap. You've heard saw the people stand. You know there's something different about the person next to you. And you know it's Jesus. You see, Jesus makes a difference. But some of you will go through this service just like any other service, just another day. You've never really trusted Christ. And today, you're spiritually lost. You're blind, the Bible says. You do not understand the things of God. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ died for you. He died that you might have eternal life. He gave his son. He so loved you on the cross that he gave his only begotten son that you might have life. And what you do need to do is to come out of the darkness into that marvelous light. You see, Jesus gives us something to shout about. Jesus gives the joy in our life. Jesus brings an excitement in our life. But unless you do something today in this service, you will go out into the world, and it could be that you have no other opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior but today. And if you do not get that vision of your lostness and a vision of Christ, how he so much loved you that he died for you, you will perish. The Bible tells us that. And friends, God doesn't hate you. God loves you. God loves you so much that he made a way that you could come out of the darkness into that marvelous light, that you could have eternal life, that you could have joy. And his name is Jesus, and all you have to do is come to him. What if blind Bartimaeus, knowing about Jesus, knowing about the miracles he had done, heard the excitement, and when the people started shouting, he must have thought, who is this coming down the road? Who's causing so much excitement? And someone said, well, blind Bartimaeus, it's Jesus. He's coming by today. Amen. Folks, he could have sat there and let Jesus Christ pass by. It had been just another day of darkness. But he didn't. The Bible says, as Jesus Christ passed by, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, he cried out to him. And you're here today, and maybe you're in that darkness, and you know Jesus Christ is passing by. You feel the power of the Holy Spirit or something. You may not even know it's the Holy Spirit, but let me tell you, it's God moving inside your life right now saying, you need to do something. Don't just sit there. Do something. Get up. Let people know that you love Jesus Christ. He's coming by. That's what he did. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. And you know what? Jesus Christ stopped right there in the middle of the road and said, hey, you really want to see? Oh, you really want Jesus Christ to come into your life today? You really want to change your mind about Jesus? You really want to repent? You really want to turn your life around from the way it's going? You see, you've got to want that. Are you tired of living in the sin of life? Are you tired of the darkness? Are you tired of the miseries of this old world? Jesus Christ says, I've got something better for you. Amen. Oh, the life of Christ is much, much better. Blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, oh, I'd give anything for my sight. The Bible says Jesus healed him that day. Amen. Now, friends, I cannot imagine how great of desire that he had that day to see Jesus Christ. But that desire caused him to call out upon the name of Jesus. And Jesus healed him and gave him his sight. He put his faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. If you have a desire in your life to say, Lord, I want to tell you, I'm lost. I want you to come into my life more than anything else. I tell you what, if you were blind, if you were here today and you were totally blind and you was in a world of darkness, and Jesus Christ said, all you have to do is come to the front, all you have to do is call out my name, and I will give you sight. Friends, let me tell you something. Every one of you that were blind would come. I don't know about you, but if I was blind and I had $1 million, man, I'd give it a second to see again. Amen. Well, Jesus Christ offers you something this morning worth more than your physical sight. It's a spiritual sight that you can come to him and he will heal your life and give you eternal life. That's what he wants to do. If you're here this morning and you have no vision spiritually, you're in a world of darkness, and you know that Jesus Christ died for you, and you know that you are a sinner. The Bible says the wages of that sin is death. That's eternal separation from God, eternal separation from all that's lovely, eternal separation from all that's beautiful, eternal separation from God altogether. Death. That means you will spend an eternity in a lake of fire. I don't know what hell is. I know the Bible describes it. With my mind, I just can't comprehend. But I know one thing. You don't want to go there. If the Bible describes it and it sounds bad and it sounds ugly and it's for eternity, no way out of that darkness. I hear the rich man over in Luke crying out, Lord, send somebody to put a cold drink of water on my tongue. Man, I hear that with my own eyes. I read that and I said, you know, if that's hell, I don't want any part of it. Amen. And Jesus, he says, Lord, you know, if you just send one touch a drop of water to put on my tongue. And God says, I can't do it. You had your chance while you was up on the earth. It's bad, folks. You don't want to go there. But if you're sitting there this morning and God says, you want to come to me and have eternal life, then you can. All you have to do is by faith say, Lord, I want you to come into my life, and I want to let everyone know that I am turning my life around and giving it to God. See, that is trusting Christ for that beautiful gift. If I put money up here and said, all you have to do is come get it, you'd run down here. Oh, it's worth more than money. The offer Jesus Christ offers, money can't buy it. You don't have enough money to buy it. I know people that tried to buy it. I know people tried to be good enough. I know people tried to go to church enough. You cannot purchase it with your own deeds. It's through Jesus Christ and the precious blood that he shed for you. That's what you have to do this morning to come to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Barnabas went home that day seeing. He got good sight. But where there's no vision, the people perish. That's spiritual vision. It's a sight which goes beyond our physical capacity to see. And it's only given to you by Jesus Christ. But not only. Well, let me say this. Years ago, there was a man named Martin Luther King. I was just a little tyke then. It's been a long time ago. He preached a sermon that says, I have a dream. And that sermon reached a lot of people. That sermon gave hope to a lot of people. That sermon gave direction to a lot of people. That sermon today still gives purpose for living. You see, without a vision, without a hope, we have no real direction in life. Jesus Christ gives us that direction. Jesus Christ gives us that purpose. Jesus Christ gives us that thing in life that we really need to do something with our lives. It is a vision that makes all the difference in the world. But you know what? Not only lost people need it, I think church people really need it. I think we need it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need it. You see, Jesus says, listen, without a vision, the people perish. And if I were going down in the pews today, and I'm not, or up in the choir, and I just might, and point someone out and said, listen, what's your goal in life? Where are you going? Don't ask a church member that. Someone said, they once asked a church member, said, hey, where's your church doing? Or where's your church going? Just meaning, what direction is your church going? They said, well, we're not going anywhere. We've been there for 50 years and we're going to stay. Boy, he meant, now where are you heading spiritually in your church? Well, if you go to people and ask that, most people wouldn't have a clue. I don't know where I'm going spiritually. Well, you ought to. For the Bible says if you don't know where you're going, you'll perish. You'll do nothing. You see, when a church group gets together, and you're the church, it's not this building, it's the people. And if the people of the church in that town or in that city does not know where it's heading, does not know the direction, does not know the purpose that God has given to us, listen, it'll soon die off. Amen. Amen. I'm worried today. Not about what I'm going to do and where God's going, but I'm worried about our churches. Because today I see in America, we have churches that have no vision. I see churches that are dying off. I told Brother Richard the other day, one other day, he's been gone for about 2 weeks. I hadn't seen him. I asked him a while ago when he came back in. I says, glad to have you today. Are you visiting with us? Then I saw his wife come in by herself, and I said, you better go sit by her. If you don't, she'll think she's gone. You've left her. But listen, I told him a few weeks ago, I guess it was, you know, I kind of worry sometimes about the church. Our older generation continues to come. Our older generation goes to Bible studies. Our older generation is the one that's doing the outreach. But oh, where is the younger generation? What's going to happen when the older generation is gone? What's going to happen to the church if we don't get people in the church with a vision to move forward? Where are we going to go? Without a vision. Man, we need a vision. A word, that's what it is. A word from God. If you read it in some Bibles, it reads like this. Where there is no revelation, that means a word from God. The people cast off restraint. They do nothing. But happy, blessed is he who keeps the law. No restraint. Oh, you know, I'm not just getting on the younger generation. Our younger generation are good people. We've got a bunch of youth here that's, man, I know they're top notch. They wouldn't have went down and helped in that mission trip if it wasn't. But we have a lot today that are unrestrained. We don't want any restraints on our worship. We want to do what we want to do. Well, let me tell you something. God put some restraints in his word. And you need to know what you believe. You need to know what God's word says. You need to be happy in the law. They don't want any discipline in their life today. Oh, we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We want to just worship like we want to worship. And let me tell you something. When you start worshiping like you want to worship, it's in the flesh a lot of times. And the old devil gets a hold of that flesh. Yes, there's restraints. There's laws in the Word of God. Whereas there's no vision, the people perish. We miss a lot of opportunities as a church. And the kind of vision that the Lord gives us is a vision that gives us a purpose in life. It gives us a direction in life. And it gives us stability. It gives us guidance in life. It gives us joy in life, excitement in life. It motivates us. When I know where I'm going, when I know what God wants me to do, then it motivates me to do just that. We need to understand. There is a supreme overriding cause to which we must give ourselves as Christians, and that cause is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's reaching out to the world. Our cause as a church is to seek the lost. Our cause as a church is to reach people for Jesus Christ. Our call as a church is seeing people being conformed into the image of God. That's our calling, folks. That's what God has left us in his word. And he says, I want you to do this. And that kind of vision, when we do that, keeps the fire a burning in our bones. Man, let me tell you something. About 27 years ago, I believe it was, we started a church here in Gun Barrel. I'm just glad I got to be a part of it. I don't know. I was telling Brother Ray, I think there's about 6 or 7 of those people left that started. But those people that started had a vision. Those people that started had a fire in their bones. Those people that started had a direction and a purpose and a goal set. And those people that started, more than that, had the power of God intermingling their lives. And they said, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. You see, a vision we need that empowers our life. That's what we need. And oh, they didn't let that go. There's two words that are used in the Greek for the word of God. Logos, that is the revealed word of God, the inerrant, the infallible, the unchanging revelations of God's word in our life. And the rhema, God's revealed word to us, revealed by the Spirit. As we read and as we study the God's word, he shows us what we need to do in our life. And as I read God's word, the Holy Spirit convicts my heart of things. And that is the Word of God that gives leadership by the Holy Spirit and gives me guidance and direction. And God says, listen, that's what I want in your life. The God I know, the God I love, didn't send his people out into the world to just go haphazardly through it. He gave us direction. He gave us purpose. He gave us guidance. I remember upon a day, He said, Moses, I want you to go and lead my people out of Egypt. Now, if those people over there in Egypt under bondage, those Israelites, had said, oh, we want to get out of here, but let us do it our own way, they'd still be stuck in bondage. God gave Moses, and it wasn't just one man. Moses was the shepherd of God. And all the other people he had under him got those people together. It wasn't just unorganized chaos getting out of there. No, it was an orderly form. And they marched out of that place with a purpose, with a direction in mind, with a vision of the promised land. Let me tell you something, Gun Barrel. God's got a work for us to do right here in this church. He's got opportunities opening up to us like never before. The question is, are you willing to venture out and do that? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, we want to go this way. Yes, Lord, we'll follow and go. A spirit-filled life and the church are a great power. Amen. Amen, a great power. But it all depends on your vision of God. I was telling Brother Bill this week, my wife and I sat out on the back porch the other day, and she was reading a devotional to me. I can read, but she can read better, so she read it to me. Is she laughing back there? I think she is. But I might have to get her to preach this to you. Somebody said, when are you going to preach better sermons? And I said, when my wife writes them. Your outlook on God. Right? Is that what I said that? Your outlook on God makes all the difference in the world of what you do in life. If your view of God, this devotional said, your view of God is that God is a judge. And God is a judge, and he sits on his throne, and here's your life, and you view God as a judge, then when something bad happens to you, you naturally want to say, well, God's being mean to me. God's hurting my life. God doesn't like me. But if you view God as a shepherd, if you view God as someone who loves you, when something bad happens in your life, you say, praise God. Because you know that God loves you too much to send troubles your way. And even though we have troubles, folks, that's just part of life. It doesn't mean that God's punishing us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Are you willing to go with God? What's your vision of God this morning? You see, without a vision, the church perishes. Without a vision, the people perishes. And without a vision, you will perish. God is our guide. God is our guide. And it's a vision that empowers us in our life. Not only that, it's a vision that God gives to unite us. You see, a vision not only guides us, but it empowers us. Oh, it empowers us. As we catch the vision, as we catch God's vision for our church, as we work together in this church, we begin to see things happen that can only be explained by God. Amen? It can't be explained in human terms. It can only be explained by supernatural God in our life. And you know what? When we see that happen, it unites us and it pulls us together. And it's a God kind of dynamic in a characteristic. Oh, just think about that new church. In Acts, we're talking about on Sunday night, if I ever get back on Sunday night. But the New Testament church, you know why it moved forward? You know why it went? It had a vision of God. It had a vision of God's power. It had a vision of the glory of God. As he went up, those guys caught that glimpse of glory. As he went up in there, and the Spirit said, hey, men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into heaven? Why don't you get busy about the work of God? And you know what? they were in one place, the Bible says, that's in unity, in one accord, that's unity, in the Bible, in Acts. And man, that church went wild for God. You see, it united them. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were united in a bond of Christian love. And as we catch that same vision in our life, in our church, we'll do the same thing. It'll explode for God. What is our vision? Well, I want to tell you something. We're going to start out some new things this next year. Some of you may like them, some of you may not, but I tell you, where two people are gathered together, there's going to be this unity there too also. You thought I was going to say, Lord. Where you have two people, you're going to have two different opinions. But man, I tell you what. We're going to start something new in our church. We're going to start as we try to reach out to our elementary school. It's called a Beach Club Bible Study. We got workers already. I know we'll need some more workers probably down the line. We don't know how many kids are coming. But I was sharing with Brother Dan. He said, Brother Booney, he said, I don't know where you're going to get the money for that. That costs $2,500. I don't know where you're going to get that kind of money. We don't have it in the budget. Where are you going to get that? And Lord of Mercy, Dub said, he don't know either. But let me tell you something. I got a vision that we can do that. We can make a difference in this community. If we can't get kids to come in here, maybe we can get kids and their parents at the school. And only $2,500. And folks, I know that you've got that. I know you've probably got that sitting around in your back pocket somewhere. I know you probably got it at the bank in CDs somewhere. You're going to die one of these days and you can't take that with you. Why don't you loan it to me now and when you die, I'll write you a check back. That'll work, won't it? I'll be sure to say, man, he was a giving fellow. I want to give it right back to him. Then if that check is cash, man, I'm going to really be in trouble. But you know what? It only costs $2,500, and I'll tell you what. If you will pray about that and you will give according to God's word to you, I tell you, we won't only receive that, we'll receive enough to do a lot of other things in this church. Man, we got a vision, and it's a venture. Yes, it's a venture. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but it will turn out according to God's word. I believe he put it in our, he gave us an opportunity, and folks, we don't need to let this opportunity pass through our hands. Not only that, he's led this church to do mission trips. Man, we're fixing to have the annual meeting at our church in October, I believe it is. Right or wrong? Right. We're going to have the annual meeting here. We're going to have booths set up in our gym. And there's going to be mission tables there. And folks, we've got mission work going on in Haiti. We've got mission work going on in Kenya. We've got mission work going on in China. There's going to be those things there to show people what we're doing. And as we go by the tables, there'll be other churches showing what they're doing. And folks, listen, you can get involved in missions. We're going to hear about Ethiopia tonight. Brother Richard's going to speak to us about that. You ought to come with your ears on. You ought to come listening in excitement and say, man, if that's going on, I want to be a part of it. Let me tell you, you can go. Amen. You can go over there. It'll set you on fire. Jesus says, go into all the worlds and make disciples. Man, we've got missions at home. We got missions. Listen, I've got a wonderful group of deacons. They're out there taking care of widow's yards. They're taking care of widow's homes. They're doing this. They're doing that. They divided them up. And when those widows need something, let me tell you something. Those deacons are doing that. You don't see them working. You don't see them doing that. You may think, well, all they do is sit around in church and pass out the Lord's Supper. No, they're doing work in the church for people who need their help. And it's not only the deacons, it ought to be the members of the church doing the same thing. Somebody said, what can I do? You can pick up limbs. We had a storm the other night. You can go to people's houses. There's limbs all over the yard. If they don't have any, come to mine. Man, we can put you busy doing something. But you know, a church that is working together, involved together, they don't have time to fuss. Amen. Man, and that's what God wants. He wants a church just moving out of love for one another. And then he says, not only go the good news of missions, but spread the gospel to everyone. Get involved in outreach. Man, we have an outreach program. Brother Bill's here on Tuesday night. The women here on Monday morning. 10 o'clock, I think. They're going door to door. People are visiting. Reaching out on Tuesday night, Monday night. We have fellowships here. Get involved with our senior adults. Get involved in Bible study. You can do it. You can get busy doing something. Just don't sit home and meal, do you? Man, get out and do something. Life is passing you by. Amen. One of these days you'll be too old to do that. I don't know how old that is. I've got a friend down in Rusk. He's over 100. And you know what? He's still on the fellowship committee. He's still bringing food to the church. He's still working for God. I see a church that's dynamic and exciting. All our rallying cry should be, we can do all things through Christ. Not, we never did it that way before, preacher. I see a church sharing. I see a church caring. I see a church that genuinely cares for people. I see a church that's evangelistic. Folks, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. It can't be done just on Tuesday nights. It can't be done just on Monday morning. It's got to be every day of the week. Let me tell you something, teachers. You need to be on that phone with your outreach director. You ought to have an outreach director. You ought to be on the phone with that outreach director calling the names of those people that are not in Sunday school. You ought to say, why aren't you in my class? Why aren't you somewhere on Sunday morning? And if they don't answer you on the phone, go see them in person. And sit with them. And sit with them. And sit with them till they promise you you'll come if you'll leave. I tell you what, they'll come if you'll leave. If you sit there long enough. I tell you how many members have joined our church that way. I remember one, I just went and had tea with them every Tuesday night. I went and had tea and sat down. It just got to where I walked in and sat down and said, here I am. When are you going to come to church? I come to see you. Every Tuesday night, they finally come, joined. I quit going. I see a church teaching and discipling in the Word of God. That's a vision. A vision of God today. And folks, without a vision, let me say, we'll sit here and we'll see our people die off. We'll see our people leave slowly but surely, because where there's no vision, the people perish. And where are you going today? If you're lost, won't you come receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How do you do that? Well, you take that first step of faith, and Jesus will show you the rest. I guarantee you. I'll be glad to sit down here with you and share with you. If you're a member here and you're saved, and you're not a member here, we'd like to have you join. But if you're a member here, ask yourself, what purpose, what direction am I going in our church? Where am I headed? And if you're not headed nowhere, you're just sitting and soaking and getting sour and mildewed, then get up and let Jesus start leading and guiding and directing your path. And I'll tell you what, you'll be happy in the Lord. We're going to give you that opportunity in just a moment when we give an invitation. And you ought to come. You ought to come and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I don't have a direction, but I want one. What can I do in our church? And I guarantee you, God will show you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the vision of a church like the book of Acts, who's united in one accord, in one place, moving for the glory of God. And Lord, I vision that's our church. That's us. God, I see people getting saved. 2,000 souls were saved. 3,000 souls were saved. 5,000 souls were saved. And Lord, in our church today, there may be somebody that's not sure about their salvation. And if they're not sure, they're not saved, I pray this morning they'll step out by faith and come receive that gift, that spiritual enlightenment. In Jesus' precious name, amen.